Ellis Bull, nice to have you on.
Glad to be here.
The first campaign issue that's mentioned on your website is climate change. What kind of legislation on climate change would you support if elected?
Well, I don't think legislation is the most important thing in legislation internal to the United States. What's most important is a global action on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And there was an agreement in Paris last December, and it was just signed by the US and China a few days ago, I believe. But that agreement, even if it's implemented totally, will not sufficiently address the problem of climate change. And the world is in for a world of hurt, even if all the goals of the Paris Agreement are met.
How could you lead then from Washington?
Well, as a representative in the House, I'd be one of over 400 people, and I would just, take a stand and urge my colleagues to do the same and get a stronger international agreement.
But you see it foundationally as something that just has to happen at the international level, and it wouldn't be worth pursuing local
No,
ends?
of course it would be worth pursuing locally, and what I do locally myself is fracking. That is, I'm very active in an initiative campaign to ban horizontal fracking in the state of Michigan. That's my own little contribution on the local level. When I say local, I mean statewide. Michigan doesn't have a lot of horizontal fracking right now, but it has some. And if the price of gas goes up, then there'll be more. And we aim to get it on the ballot in 2018. We initially were collecting signatures to get it on for 2016. We missed the deadline, so we'll keep collecting for 2018.
And just to be clear, that's a state ballot initiative you're
Yes,
talking about right there.
statewide.
If you're elected, would you tackle fracking at the federal level?
Well, there's only that can only be controlled on federal lands. The fracking rules and regulations are governed on a state-to-state basis, and even on federal lands, there have been court rulings that say the rulings of that particular state have to control the fracking on federal lands. So there wouldn't there are some limits on greenhouse gas emissions being proposed by the EPA now, and again, I don't think those will be sufficient. But there are some measures that can be done through the EPA. But the main way that we're going to stop fracking in the United States is through statewide action. And the state of New York has already banned it. The state of Vermont has. State of Maryland has a moratorium for a couple of years, I believe. Then there's countries and provinces of countries around the world that have also enacted bans.
Well, let's talk about an issue that would be that is regulated at the federal level, and that's interstate oil pipelines like Line 5, which goes across the Straits of Mackinac here in Michigan. What do you think should be done about Line 5 across the Straits?
Well, again, that I believe is controlled by state law. I'm sorry to contradict you. At least that's my understanding. I know many of the people who are active in opposing Line 5, and all the investigation that I've seen going into that, I'm not directly involved myself, but I know the people is at the state level, and our Attorney General Bill Schuette is investigating it. I don't think aggressively enough.
So you don't think the federal government has the power to shut down the line, even though it is an interstate line?
That particular line. I'm not sure if the federal government has a jurisdiction over Line 5, but I know the federal government does have jurisdiction over this line coming from North Dakota to Illinois that has been in the news lately because of protests in North Dakota at the Standing Rock Reservation about that pipeline being put over sacred tribal sites, and there's litigation going on in Washington, D.C. about that right now. And the judge just issued a day or two ago issued an or asked the company to hold off on any further construction in part of that project, and the company agreed to do so. The company's been using dogs, vicious dogs, against the protesters in North Dakota. Our candidate for president, Jill Stein, our Green Party candidate, Jill Stein and Manju Baraka, the vice presidential candidate, were just there in Standing Rock, solidarizing with the protesters.
What would be your legislative priorities on day one in Washington if elected?
Well, single-payer health care is a longstanding position of the Green Party, and there's a bill in Congress introduced, I believe, by Representative Conyers several years ago. It's been there for several years, and that would be an important point that I would work on. Preserve Social Security, Medicare for all is another way of describing single-payer health care. I would clamp down. I mean, there are some actions that the EPA can take to reduce emissions, and I would work for stronger enforcement. I guess those would be my priorities. Oh, and as Jill Stein has pointed out, the U.S. has 700 or 800 military bases around the world. And if you add up all the external bases of every other country, they come to 30 in total. The U.S. has got 700 or 800. The others combined have 30. The U.S. needs to close those bases. So I would, not all of them, but half of them is what she's saying, and I certainly agree with that. We have a warlike economy.
Did you say warlike?
Yes, yes. Well, the U.S. went into Iraq. Senator Clinton voted for that. The U.S. supported Israel when it invaded Gaza in 2014. Even Senator Sanders voted for that, money for that. The U.S. has to, you know, contain itself, restrain itself militarily. It can't be the policeman of the world.
Do you think that the U.S. should have any foreign policy?
Well, of course. It just shouldn't be based on military might. Might makes right. That's not a good policy.
You've run for this seat three times before. This is your fourth campaign.
Yes.
Your vote totals have hovered around 1%,
yes.
A little over 1%.
Correct.
What's the point of running this time?
Well, there's two reasons for anyone to become involved in politics and to run for office. One is to try to win the seat, and the other is to discuss public issues. And that's why I'm here today, is to discuss public issues. I think if these kinds of issues don't get discussed and they go under the rug and people forget about them, so it's part of my job is to make sure your listeners know what's going on. There are alternative points of view out there, and we recommend that they endorse ours.
What does the Green Party need to do to make itself more relevant, and also to make some of the values that it supports more relevant here in Northern Michigan?
We just had a rally in Detroit that I was involved in organizing on Saturday. Jill Stein and Manju Baraka, our presidential, vice presidential candidates, came to Detroit. 500 people attended. We had Motown music. Jill Stein was invited onto the stage by Martha Reeves of the Vandellas to help. She's an accomplished drummer in one of her other lives. She did a nice job, and she gave a nice talk. So we're doing what we can to enlarge the image of our candidates throughout the state. We have about 30 or 35 candidates running for various offices, Congress and state offices and local. So we're doing what we can to make ourselves known to the public.
Do you think that the Green Party has a constituency in Northern Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, we're the Green Party. There's plenty of environmentalists around, and it makes sense for those people to support our positions and vote for us.
One of the candidates in this race, Lon Johnson, the Democrat, has made Line 5 one of his kind of central part of his
That's
his,
terrific.
His
That's
campaign.
Great.
What do you offer that Lon Johnson doesn't?
Well, I've met Lon. He's a nice guy. And it's a big change from the Democratic candidate last time, Jerry Cannon, who had been head of detention at Guantanamo Bay and was involved in torturing one particular prisoner there that I had, you know, direct contact with and verified that that Cannon was involved in that particular incident 10 or 12 years ago. Johnson is for banning fracking. He's for stopping Line 5. He's pro-choice, as am I. I have not found any skeletons in his closet. Not that I'm not looking, but it sounds
like you might have been looking.
Well, I haven't looked vigorously, but from what I can see so far, he's a nice guy, and he's willing to talk to me, and I like that. The problem for Lon Johnson is that he's part of the Democratic Party, and as Bernie Sanders said during his campaign in the spring, you can't have a revolutionary program inside a counter-revolutionary party, and the Democratic Party is against single payer. Is for, we have all kinds of military involvement in the Middle East right now, and that's the Democrats are running that. So it's not just the particular candidate; it's the apparatus or the party of which he's a part. Now the other candidate, the Republican, Jack Bergman, I just don't know anything about. It was a surprise win for him in the Republican primary. So I can't comment about him. And the Libertarian candidate, there is one who does live in the Upper Peninsula, and I went to her website a couple weeks ago, and there was hardly anything there. Perhaps there's more. She'll have more on her website if I went and looked at it today. But I don't see her as playing an active role. Certainly the Libertarian candidate last time, Lowell Natt, didn't even live in the district and did no campaigning at all, none at all, except to answer one questionnaire. And even though he did no campaigning at all, he had a higher vote total than I did. So it's the label. It's the brand, Libertarian versus Green. So I run not on my personal qualities, although I consider I have many excellent personal qualities. Been a longtime activist in a variety of fields, but I'm running as a representative of the Green Party.
You brought up earlier that there were two reasons to run for office. One was to win. One was, and another reason is to, to bring ideas to the people, to expose the people and the constituents to ideas that they might never have been exposed to before.
Yes.
And to keep that conversation going. Is that the kind of campaign that you see yourself running, that second one?
Yes. On my website, I have a number of detailed positions on a variety of issues. I have not yet completed updating my website from the positions I took 2 years ago on some of the issues. On the global warming, I have updated that, and that everything there is current. But the position on some of the other issues, like Social Security, Obamacare, and single payer, et cetera, I haven't. But my intention is to write a series of detailed positions, and I hope that members of the public and voters will go and look at them, think about them, and respond to them.
One of the 10 values that the Green Party holds is a belief in decentralization of power, less bureaucracy, as you describe it on your website. But I'm wondering if you think that value is consistent with your own support for a single-payer healthcare system. That's one of your policy positions. Do you think that the two conflict, that practical position and then the value of decentralization?
You may be correct about that. I haven't thought about that as a possible contradiction. And we do, believe in thinking globally and acting locally. And there may be a bit of a tension there.
How would a single-payer program work?
It would be Medicare, except everybody would be, everyone, you and I, and regardless of your age, would participate in it. And it's not exactly correct to say Medicare for all, because Medicare only covers up to 80% of your expenses, and single payer would cover 100%.
Is there a model that you would hold up as an example of how things could work?
I haven't studied it in detail enough to say, look at the country of Canada or look at the country of this or that to say this would be the model we should follow. And I would just go with the wording of H.R. 676, which is the bill I mentioned that Representative Conyers has.
And that's John Conyers of Detroit.
Yes, and it's about 30 or 40 other co-sponsors of that bill.
You were born in Illinois.
Yes.
You worked as a labor attorney in Detroit for decades.
Yes.
Then you semi-retired, as you put it on your website.
Yes.
And you moved to Charlevoix.
Yes.
Where you had some family history.
Yes.
How are you prepared to lead this district from, you know, the Western Upper Peninsula all the way down to Traverse City?
Well, that's question you could ask of all the candidates.
I have. That's what I'm asking too.
This is it's like the third largest district geographically in the United States, and Bart Stupak, who held that position for many terms up until I guess 6 years ago or so, was pretty good, I thought, about coming back to the district frequently and holding what he called town meetings. Where anybody could just show up and shoot questions at him. And Dan Beneshek, our current representative, does that, but not as frequently as Stupak did. So I would follow Stupak's model and just come back to the district frequently and hold meetings at different locations all around the district. It's hard to travel. But you do it. It's part of the job.
Let's talk about another campaign issue let's talk about another policy issue.
Sure.
And that's Social Security, which it comes up, you know, every couple of years as these campaigns get underway. And there's often a refrain, especially from Republicans, that the system is unstable and that, you know, there's not going to be the money there in a few decades. That's promised. Is there a problem with Social Security?
I don't think so. That's one of the issues that I have not yet updated from 2 years ago. But I did address that very question 2 years ago on my website. And from what the projections that I've looked at and that I reviewed there, I don't think it's a problem. I think Social Security is going to be able to survive. And I don't care for the attitude, well, let's the people that are already, you know, receiving Social Security, let them continue with higher benefits, and the newcomers come in with lower benefits. In the labor movement that I was associated with for many years, and still am to some extent, that's called a two-tier apparatus, and we don't care for that. We think everyone should be on the same tier.
Are there any issues specific to Northern Michigan that you are especially concerned about right now?
No, I don't think so. Other than the fracking issue, and fracking is mainly done in the northern lower peninsula that will be covered by our district.
When you're on the campaign trail, what's your 30-second pitch to voters, you know, when you've got them for a second in an elevator or something like that?
Well, I just started out this interview with some of my points. Single payer, cut back the military, ban fracking, global warming. Global warming is the big bad issue that everybody needs to discuss. I don't think any of the candidates are addressing it sufficiently. And
on your website, you have a clip from I'm not exactly sure what it is. It's an essay or something about, and it's in your section on global warming. And the writer is saying that, you know, to stop global warming, we perhaps need to abandon this growth-centered economy.
Yes,
is
yes.
that how you see it?
Yes, yes. I think the whole idea of that we need to have growth and more growth that's part of the problem. That's why we're having global warming. When the more growth you have, the more fossil fuels you use, or at least that's been the historic example. And maybe with the coming on of renewables, of wind, solar, geothermal, there could be continued growth without expansion of fossil fuels. But fossil fuels need to be left in the ground. And if fossil fuels are the engine of growth, then growth is going to have to slow down or stop. And I know the growth is the foundation of capitalism. And everybody knows that. And so it's gonna require big changes in our way of living for everyone. And this is something that we all have to grapple with.
Were you at the protests in 1968 at the Democratic National Convention?
I certainly was. I was a marshal there. I lived in Chicago at the time. I was
you were a what, a marshal?
Parade marshal for the protesters. I wore a certain type of armband, and there was a police riot on Wednesday of that week. I remember it very clearly. I have a whole description of it on an essay I wrote about the experience on my website. And I was arrested as part of a demonstration of thousands of people led by the comedian and activist Dick Gregory. Our case went to the Illinois Supreme Court, which ruled against us, and then it went to the United States Supreme Court, where they declined review. But one justice, Justice Douglas, wrote that review should have been granted and we should have been declared innocent. And I consider that a victory. All we were doing was marching at that time the issues were stop the Vietnam War, stop racism, stop poverty.
Were you a student?
No, I was a taxi driver.
In Chicago.
I had been a teacher, a high school math teacher. Math was my background in college. And then I left that, became a taxi driver and a bus driver in the foot, and then I went to law school.
Did you get beat up?
No, I did not.
But you got arrested, obviously.
Yes. I spent the night in jail and heard the acceptance speech of Hubert Humphrey, the Democratic candidate to be the nominee of his party for the presidency, from prison, from jail. I heard that.
Bernie Sanders was there too, wasn't he? Or am I remembering?
I don't think so. I would know that. I have some history with Sanders. He came to Detroit one time 30 years ago to give a talk. I think he was a mayor of Burlington at the time, or maybe he was in Congress. And I'm a musician. My band played. We were the warm-up act for Bernie Sanders, and I still have the leaflet for that. I'm sure he does not remember, but I very much do.
Did you vote for him?
Well, he's not in Michigan. I couldn't vote for him.
You didn't vote in the Democratic primary.
I don't. I make a practice of not voting in the primaries of other parties. I know it's allowed in Michigan, but I don't agree with that. I've never voted Democratic or Republican in my life.
How long has the Green Party been around?
Well, I don't know exactly. The early 90s, I believe. I joined at the time I moved to Charlevoix at the Millennium in 2000 and became active of it, and in a sense the leader of it. It was a functioning party for a while. We would have meetings of 20 or 30 people every week, and we got one candidate elected, Joanne Beeman, for Drain Commissioner of Charlevoix County, and she served for 4 years. But the Green Party locally in Charlevoix doesn't meet anymore, and occasionally the Green Party in Traverse City meets, and I attend some of those.
And just to clarify, you were nominated by the Green Party to run in the first, is that correct?
Yes.
And there was a convention?
Yes, it was in Lansing a month or so ago.
Anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, I do want to mention one other issue that I've been involved in, and that is a BDS, or a boycott, divest, and sanction of Israeli companies and entities that are involved in suppressing Palestinian rights. I've mentioned that I'm a labor attorney, and I have a case involving the United Auto Workers, a local of the UAW in California, voted. You know, they had 6,000 member local representing 14,000 employees voted to support BDS by a 2/3 margin, and the international UAW said, "You can't vote that way." Well, why not? Well, because our president of the UAW 7 years ago said he was against BDS, and because he personally was against BDS, your local cannot vote to be for BDS. And that's an outrageous violation of union democracy. People should be allowed to vote whichever way they want, even if the president of the UAW thinks the other way on that point. And in general, I've been a supporter of Palestinian rights. I've been to the West Bank a couple of times. And
I saw you have a photo with you and Yasser Arafat.
Yes.
When was that?
What were
the circumstances of that?
I was on a trip organized by the National Lawyers Guild. That's a legal organization I joined my first week in law school, and I'm still a member today. And they sponsored both of my trips to, one was to the West Bank, the other was to Cairo, and then I took a side trip to the West Bank on the way home concerning Israeli war crimes. And we investigated, and part of our investigation as we met with Arafat.
Ellis Bowl, thanks for coming in.
All right, glad to be here.